Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Thank you for listening to Healthy Style Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela, and today I have a very special guest, my dear friend, Erin. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy, and I'm so happy to get to have this conversation with you, which I think is really, really important, and we're going to talk about alcohol, being sober curious, and all of those things. Like, I want to bust some myths for people because I work with a lot of clients who perhaps like drink socially, and you know, and I think that they can feel way better if they either cut it down or took it out completely. And I know it can sound a little bit drastic for many because we live in a society where alcohol is like a normal thing. It's like breathing for some people, right?
Yes.
But before we get into all of that, I want you to introduce yourself. I know you've been sober for a little over 1,000 days, right?
Yeah.
So just tell me a little bit about your journey and
So I'm a mom of two, and I've always been really, you know, consider myself a health buff. Loved working out. I always was diving into, you know, different books, going deep into how to take the best care of my body. But I had this growing addiction with alcohol, and which I now learned in the rooms, and we'll get into that. It's a progressive disease. So it was written small in me as my coping method early on, like say in my 20s. But the opposite of that was like, I was this, you know, plant-based green juice drinking, always in the gym, you know, connected to God, involves great relationships. But this disease is kind of baffling, and it was growing in me, which eventually landed me in rehab, which I know we'll talk about. Rehab kind of skyrocketed me into this world of recovery, and eventually, you know, getting sober and starting a wellness business with my dear friend Siobhan, Monarch Wellness, you know, and completely turning my life upside down. So I'm so psyched to be here with you to share my journey, share what I've been through, in hopes that someone else can relate or get something from it that will help them in their own struggles, their own journeys. You know, it was people who were honest with me and shared their story saved me. They saved my life because they were brave to share about their shame and their darkest moments and their trials. And so I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Yeah. No, and there's a few things you in there you said I want to uncover. The fact that you were quote unquote healthy.
Yes.
You were into health and wellness.
Yes.
And just to plug this in a little bit, like I was as well. Mm-hmm. I have been playing around, flirting around with the idea of being sober curious.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my story is a little bit different. So I never had an addiction to it.
Right.
But as I got more clean with my lifestyle and my choices, my body just couldn't take it. My mindset couldn't take it. And the thing is, like when I look back, you know, I've always struggled a little bit with like low energy and depression. And I think that like enhanced it a lot more.
Absolutely.
And so when I'm trying to feel good, like my main goal is to wake up and feel energized and have positive thoughts without me trying to force them. Of course, sometimes we do, but every single time, even if I had one drink socially, I had a lot, you know, we had a good time. Vibrationally, I felt off, and I tune in into the vibration, but like literally I would take a couple sips and like, I felt like this was me when I started. And then all of a sudden I was like going somewhere else.
Yes.
And I hated that. And so like, I decided consciously a few months ago that I'm like, and I've done this before. I've done 3 years without it in my 20s. I've done it 2 years, 2.5 years in my 30s. Like I just was not attached to it. But then I would go out and, you know, the lifestyle I like to live, it's kind of like, you know, going out to eat and have a champagne.
Yes.
And all of that. And I had to change my mindset that I can still do those things.
Yes.
And have fun, but then get to walk out. Like the other day, a few weeks ago, I went out for a brunch, a regular party brunch where it's like you know, 1 p.m. they have champagne flowing, the girls dancing, the music, the all of that. And I had Pellegrino in a wine. I said, you know, give me a wine glass, please. Yeah. With some Bellini peach juice or whatever. It was like fresh. It was amazing.
Yum.
And I said, I had three of those. And so people probably thought I was drinking. Definitely. And whatever, I didn't care, but I still need that to like, I need that oral fixation.
Yes.
It's the routine.
It's the routine.
And I didn't go that route where I told everybody like, I'm not drinking, guys.
No one even cares. That's the funny thing. There's so many points that you just said. Okay. That's what I do. So I always, the wine glass is my go-to. Like I'm drinking water right now out of a stemless wine glass. I love a beautiful glass when I go out with my friends, which I do a lot.
Yes.
I love a beautiful glass and I make my, you know, whatever it is, and I enjoy it. And I'm part of the party because I love going out. And that was part of my story. I lived in New York with my babies. We went out all the time. I mean, lunch was an event. Brunch is, I mean, amazing, especially in the city. So
yes.
I always now have my glass, and it's a ritual because we love our rituals and it's bread, and it's part of like breaking bread and having time with those you love. The great thing that you realized on your own, because you are so, you're healthy and you're in tune with source. You're really, you know, you're in tune with God. Alcohol is a depressant. So you're vibing high and you're like, woo, I feel great. And you put alcohol in your body and goes, and squat that vibe.
And what I see clients, people, women, but I think this, it doesn't have like a gender or like how you look or social status or any of that. But what I end up seeing is those people that drink tend to go on like antidepressants.
Yes.
You know, and then it's that cycle and then it hinders your health. So it's like, you know, your liver, your skin, your mood, like everything is out of whack and you're trying to align it with.
You can't, you actually can't align it. And when we put anything in our body too, that's taking us from the vibrational energy, what we're created for, high, connected to source, and you put something in it, you actually can't get there. And so you do become depressed. You can't connect to God's vision for your life and what you really want because you have the substance in the way blocking you. And I was one of those people. Guess what? I went to every therapist in the world. I went on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
Made me, okay, so you're drinking on Prozac. Holy shit. Like you can't.
Yeah.
It's lights out.
Wait, so you were drinking and did Prozac?
Yeah, I drank and did Prozac. I knew in my soul, but I wasn't ready yet to admit I had a problem and wanted. And I left my party. I was like, what the hell am I going to do this? So I went on Prozac. You're not supposed to drink on any antidepressant. I did not listen to my therapist. I drank on it. And it made me tremendously worse. I mean, talk about dark depression.
Wow.
Yeah. So they don't mix, but you're right. You know, you're getting depressed drinking, you get something, another thing coming into your body, another substance, drug. And you're like literally effed because you're stuck now in this dark pit and you're thinking, I'm taking an antidepressant. Okay. Maybe I should cut out the alcohol, but you're not getting to the root and you're not clearing out your body to heal and get to the why of why you're feeling that way.
And when you think about it, like most people, I started drinking at a very early age. Like I was like 13, 14 and we were like getting adults to buy us bottles. Like when I think of this now, I'm like, holy crap. Like, wow. I'm just shocked because now having a daughter, I see how a 13-year-old, like how young that is.
You're a baby.
And anyway, we started drinking, I mean, like, you know, 15, 16, like getting blacked out drunk, smoking weed. Thankfully we never got into hard drugs. Like we just experimented with that, but regardless, like we stayed on that path. I stayed on that path for a really long time when you think about it. Just what it did to my body. And in my personal experience, I ended up having a breakdown, and I speak about this a few times on the podcast, but I had a breakdown at around 20, 21. And I think it was everything together. I had like food, like food addictions. And, you know, I was always trying to escape. Like I wasn't into the home life thing. Like and I would always get in trouble. And I'm like, my quote was always like, I do what I want, you know? And, but then that came with this, like, just other emotions that I obviously didn't know how to process. And so my way of processing was to go out and to have a blast, because there I felt seen, heard, loved.
Right.
All of that.
That makes so much sense. You had a, you didn't know how to cope. We don't really know how to cope. And this is something that with God's help, I want to teach my children. So you had these really uncomfortable feelings, but alcohol temporarily took you here, or food temporarily would take you here.
Yeah.
We weren't, we don't want to deal. We don't want to face it and say, okay, I'm feeling this. And you, cause you think when you face something, it's going to kill you. Like you're like, I can't.
Yes.
And that actually is the only way through. And you sit and you look it in the eye and you call it out and you ask for help. You go through it and you're like, it's gone. It's like, it leaves you. It's the pathway to your happiness is facing those feelings, but we run from it with a substance, with relationships, with food, shopping. There's so many ways that we cope, and like and those coping addictions end up making our issues quadruple. Like the, it just compounds the problem.
So this leads me into, and this is such a great point, is saying when I was that age, or people who start drinking early on, they don't have those coping mechanisms. No. You know, I didn't grow up in a household where like everybody was like, you know, healthy and did all the things. Like I just, and so I was dealing with it that way. And as soon as I like learned about yoga and breath work, and this was like, I was like 23, 24. Mm-hmm. I was like, didn't know that that's obviously like a way of coping with things. Right. But I was like attracted to that. And I always felt better. And then I would, of course, take myself out of it and go out to the city and party all night till six in the morning. But then I was like, oh my gosh, I got to like go to the library for the day and read.
You knew you're trying to balance.
Oh my gosh. And I, you know, I spoke about this. It's like, I was living this major double life, like party girl and then like wellness guru, you know, for a while. And I think that's okay.
Yes.
It's better than staying in the party girl mode for the rest of your life.
Keeping you alive, and you were inching your way to here. Yeah. Like you were on a journey to here. You just didn't know that at the time you're going to be all the way over here, which is so beautiful.
Right. Right. But so it's funny because now I look at it like from an, like a tall view, just seeing that now I have these coping mechanisms. That's why I don't need it.
Yep.
You know, like I meditate daily. I walk, I do all of these things that by the time I want to go out to eat, I'm so fulfilled that I'm okay with just being present with my friends and having that sparkling water or whatever, still in a wine glass though.
Still in a wine glass, same. But you have, you found the key to everything. It's all within. And so when any time that we're looking without, we are going to be left longing for more and unhappy and unsatisfied, but you found it within yourself. And that's the thing. Like once we have this and we have it within us, we can do anything. Like I, in sobriety, really and truly can do anything because I'm aligned. I know who I am. I'm filled with love and light, and I'm not looking for a thing or a substance or a relationship or a title or accomplishment to fulfill me. And that's a hunger and a longing that cannot be filled with anything else. But I believe, you know, connection to source. And you're so right about like going out now, because you don't even want it. You're just happy to be alive and be there and be present for those you love.
Yes. No, it's just so amazing. I actually lost my train of thought as you were, I wanted to say something about, well, it'll come up. I did want to ask you about your AA experience, because I know that's one of the things that really was like a pivotal moment for you of movement. So what happened? So you went to rehab, and then did somebody make you go to rehab, or was it willing, like self-willing?
Willingly, but I don't think I was kind of like out of options. It was the, you know, it was the summer, July 23rd, my sobriety date, 2019. And I was running out of options. I was running out of, you know, I needed to, so my environment at the time was so entrenched in alcohol and going out. It's just, I needed to leave my environment. That's why I went to rehab. And in rehab, they did AA. They had some other different modalities, but I was in such a bad way. I now realize I was like a dry drunk because you take away your coping mechanism and you don't have anything else. You're still an alcoholic. You just don't drink. So you're miserable and no one wants to be around a dry drunk. We're like the worst. So thank you, God. I got out of rehab and one of my good friends that had been sober for a really long time, she was like a unicorn, the only person I knew who didn't drink, my gorgeous friend, Shanley. And she like literally came to my door and was like, okay. And like started taking me to meetings. And like, I was like dead. Like I came back from rehab dead, like dark, dead.
But also physically, mentally, everything.
Everything. It's like, you had all of this covering on you and everyone stripped you bare. And then I just felt like everything was loud and bright. And I was, I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, I am going to die.
How long was that period?
It takes a while, but I want to stress that every day that you go to AA and you turn your life over to God and you just do what they're telling you to do, you start feeling better. It's medicine. It's medicinal. And so every meeting I went to, I was like, and it was the people in the rooms that made it attractive because I would go there and just, you can hardly pay attention. I mean, your brain is fried. I physically didn't feel well, but I saw light and I felt light and I felt a life that I wanted people had. And so I listened and I kept going because I knew I was a walking dead person and I kept going for my children. I was like, I have to heal for them. I have to, you know? Yeah. And so you go and little by little, it's like God breaks through, God breaks through, God breaks through. And AA is very much, you go to AA meeting anywhere in the world, it's the same. You know, you have the same steps, you have the same rules, you have the same structure of a meeting. And so I heard people's stories. We dove into the big book, which is how you work through your steps in AA. I got a sponsor and again, truly, it was like a light went on. Like one, it's like all of a sudden you're like,
it's a cumulative. It's like any habit that you build on that is super tiny. Yes. All of a sudden you wake up one day and you see those results. You're not going to see it day one.
You're not
or going day to- 20 sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's but those little things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, like, how did this impact your kids, this shift for you? Has your parenting style changed? Like,
yes. Oh, my parenting style. I'm so calm. Like you just, it is wild. Like in sobriety, also like you chemically change, like you make your body very sick with alcohol or any substance that's not, you know. So I have more peace and there's just calm in my body. And so that goes to my children. I'm just capable of really handling anything. Like before when I was drinking, it's funny, drinking causes anxiety. And so you have, you know, parenting things come, you know, with children and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can be here. I'm grounded. I'm connected to God. I pause, I pray, I meditate. They see me meditating.
Yeah.
They know going to meetings. The biggest thing for them was to truly get used to like, where's your wine? Like my daughter at first, when I came back, she's like, where's your rosé? And I'm like, baby, I'm not drinking anymore. She goes, yes, you are. I go, no, I don't want rosé. My life is so much better without rosé. Like I don't want that in my body. I've learned that I can't handle rosé. I have an allergy to rosé.
Yeah.
And so that took a while for them because it was constant, Michaela. Like I was the person with like constant glass of wine in hand. So that was
Were you drinking per day?
Oh my God. I mean, I had lunch every day. I had like a social lunch pretty much every day and like forget it about the weekends. So maybe I had a couple at lunch, maybe a couple in the afternoon.
And that's moderate, like for most people. Yeah.
And then dinner, but it was an all day flow.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember a day that I didn't drink. Like I would never go. There was never a day that I would drink. Like that to me was like, well, why would you drink?
And
I was really addicted.
So, and that was part of your identity, which it started at what age for you?
I mean, it's interesting. So I drank socially in high school, but I was always an athlete. Again, the duality, right? Like I could so relate to you. I was this and I was that. I had friends who drank and friends who were like really good athletes. And so I drank in high school, obviously I drank in college, but I would never call myself an alcoholic, like drinking alcoholically, until later in life, like in my 30s with children in school, and we moved from the city to the suburbs and not knowing how to cope. Because life is just going to build with more blessings and with that more responsibilities and stress. I didn't know how to cope. So my life was getting more stressful. I had more anxiety and I didn't know what to do with these uncomfortable feelings. So I just wanted them out. And it was either exercise or alcohol. And I did both excessively. Right.
Yeah.
To numb the pain, to escape from the pain, instead of really talking to someone. And that's a big thing at AA too. You just talk about your shit. Like you, I literally was like, I can't believe these people are just.
And that's so healing.
Now I'm one of those people. And I'm like, oh, right. Because guess what? They just healed and they just took a leap forward and they're now like floating because they released that and they helped somebody else. And honesty is so beautiful and so powerful. And what I've seen in the rooms is everyone has shit. Everyone's been through something. And it's only seems so awful in your own mind. When you put it out there, people are like, me too. Guess what? Me too. And you're like, oh, I'm not alone. Like the human story, there's so many common things that we all face.
So do you, like, you've been going to AA for a while. Like, would you, for example, someone like me who's never had like an addiction to alcohol, just enjoyed the social part of it. Do people like that go to AA?
No. So only if you think you have a problem with drinking.
Oh, okay.
And whatever. But people like you can come to celebration meetings. Like, so when anyone celebrates their sober birthday, you can invite friends and family. And it's beautiful because then you come in and you hear people's stories of how they overcame and what their life is like now. They, you know, you share your experience, strength, and hope. And it's gorgeous. And it's a wonderful, you know, thing to be part of. But AA is really for people who are addicted and cannot stop.
Okay. So I'm like wondering, I'm like, am I? But then I don't know if I could stop on my own. And
I feel like you are amazing. Like if you stop for a couple of years on your own and this is not, so it's a physical and spiritual craving that an obsession, and I don't, you know, see it, but
yeah,
you know, I think you would know because you know, the alcoholic mind doesn't stop thinking about the alcohol. And then when you take away the alcohol, it obsessively thinks about something else in its place until you really get relief through AA. And it's a true, you know, surrender to God and living out these steps.
I just find that so beautiful. Like,
it's
so beautiful.
And I mean, principles of AA can be applied to anybody's lives. And it's so cool because the founders pulled from, you know, Buddhist traditions, you know, Christianity, Judaism, like they pulled from all major world religions because they pulled from God. They pulled from deep spiritual truths, and it's applicable to all humans.
I love that. Oh my God. So how has your health changed?
Oh my God.
Your mindset, like just the bright side of it.
Okay. So this is one of the craziest things. So early on in sobriety, I'm just sitting at my counter and all of a sudden I was like, I'm just like really happy right now and I'm not doing anything. I never had that. I never had like, I'm just, my natural state of being is well and good and at peace. I was always like, I need to do this and I'll feel better. I need to do this. So there's joy. Like you have joy pulsating through your body when you are not blocking it with a substance. So I have true joy, true peace. Okay, my energy's crazy, crazy. You know, it's so funny, like workouts now and like my level of my ability to be physical is only increasing as I age.
Wow.
My skin has gotten better. My sleep is incredible. My mental clarity, what, you know, just it is for anyone who just even wants to drink less and doesn't think they're struggling with an addiction, it is so much better. Like this, yeah. Because we're honoring our bodies. We're not really supposed to be putting that, not in our, in our cells. Like every cell, you know, is damaged by alcohol. It's so every aspect of my life has gotten so much better. Every relationship is, oh my God, it's flourishing because I'm a healthier, centered, happier, more alive being.
And you went through divorce, right? Was this after?
No. So I came out of rehab and we went to therapy, and I'm so thankful to have gone through this. I couldn't have done it soberly. So, and you know, the thing in sobriety, but this is the thing that we run from as humans. We are meant to feel everything, the good and the bad. And again, like saying before, you think the bad's going to kill you, the bad's going to make you a better human. So, so much pain because soberly without armor, feeling this, because I love my ex very much. And we, by the grace of God, have a great relationship. Feeling everything, being present for all of it, and truly knowing the decision I'm making, the gravity of it, what this means, because I'm sober and I have sober counsel. I had an amazing sponsor who told me, we're going to hold off on your divorce until you get through your 12 steps and you have a year of sobriety and you are going to go to counseling with your husband. And I was like, okay. And I listened and we went through it and decided, unfortunately, that divorce is going to be the best solution for us. Again, it was incredibly painful, but I had peace in my soul knowing that we're both going to be better off.
And you went through those feelings together, like, which is totally, that's the healing part. So that's not something you have to heal from anymore. Mm-hmm. You did it.
You feel it. And then you can feel it when it comes up. You're like, yeah, I can in sobriety say, that was so beautiful. Like, I'm so blessed that I got to share this experience with such an amazing person. Now the most incredible children. And that was divine. And I look back with such, you know, gratitude for this life that we shared. And the most amazing thing about sobriety is that we still are walking through life together in many ways because we're raising our children and we're working together. I wouldn't be able to do this if I wasn't sober because I can choose grace and kindness and compassion as a sober woman that I wouldn't have if I wasn't
sober. That's one thing that I've realized. And I've always been a kind, nice person, but I feel my relationships have, some have fallen away because of the connection with it. Mm-hmm. Some have enhanced.
Yes.
It's, when you drink, you look at the world differently.
Yes.
Versus when you don't drink, you look at the world with like pure eyes. And so even if somebody does something wrong, you know, it has nothing to do with you.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And because when you're not drinking, you're connected to how God sees that person.
Right.
And that you have that, you know, spirit going through you saying,
that's true.
Love them. They're hurting, you know, have grace because you needed a lot of grace and your perspective completely shifts. And you also are connected to that power that does it for you. Cause a lot of times it's God who does it through us. So many times where I can't, I ask God to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got divorced and obviously you're stepping into this new version of you, which we talk about like future self or just embodying this version that you creating this new identity for you.
Yes.
Right. Like you basically did that. You rewrote your whole story.
Yes.
Of like crazy. I went from this person to this person.
Yeah.
And we can do this as many times in our lives. Like it's not just when something goes really bad, we should always be evaluating all different areas. Right.
Yeah.
So like, let's talk about little like self-identity. And also I want to know about like dating, how now that you loved yourself and you took care of yourself, you probably attracted something different.
You normally would
if you didn't.
100%. Well, and this is such a, like a lesson I learned, you know, in sobriety, you have to be that which you want.
Yeah.
And once I started stepping into my true identity and my true calling and where my true security and worth come from within and believing and asking God for my partner to appear, you know, and becoming that, that would be a perfect match. Like you have to become a match. You have to become that which you want. My partner, who is sent from God, I mean, sent from God, appeared in my life, and he really became, he stood in front of me. We were out in a group, and I saw him and I was like, there he is. And I knew, wow. Like, I was like, and I even said, I go, there is my person. Like, this is the person that I've been longing for and asking for and wanting. And it's so funny because our first meeting together, we haven't been like separate since. Like we, you know, I got the courage through my friends to ask him for coffee. It was so fair. Michaela, I was like, I don't know if I can, like, should I email him? They're like, nobody emails. Like, you have to get over. I was like, I'm so nervous. Oh, and I, like, you know, asked a friend for his number and I was so embarrassed.
That's great.
A week, and I reached out, but once we connected with ease, because that's another thing. Things come with ease that are for you. Whatever is yours is yours and it cannot be taken. And right. Ease. And I had such clarity. And like the most beautiful thing is clarity. I know myself. So now I know who I want to spend my life with. I know who I want around me. I know what I want to create. That is so powerful.
Yeah. And he's sober as well.
He is sober. And I admire him so much and I look up to him. And he's also this, you know, such a spiritually grounded, beautiful human that, I mean, I could cry. Like I can't believe how blessed I am. You know, like I'm so lucky.
That's amazing.
That you have
but you did the work. Yeah. You did the hard work.
It is work. And I'm so happy you said that. Cause I know when you work with your clients, like you can guide them and give them this beautiful path to follow. But if they don't do it, they don't get the blessings. And like, that's AI. That's life. Like this is the way. There is a map to everything you want. You have to just take the first step and take a deep breath and keep going when you feel like I can't do this. And like you think that you're gonna die. You're not gonna die. You're coming alive. You're becoming.
That's being a human. Yes. Right. It's feeling all the things.
Yes.
It's the attachment we put to feeling angry or this or that. We say that that's bad, but it's just an emotion, just like being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Passes. Even being happy passes. That's not like eternal. Right. You know what I mean? Like everything.
Oh. Well, and we're not our thoughts and we're not this body. Oh goodness, what is this?
Ah. Yep, you're good.
Oh, good. Okay.
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about like debunking some myths about not drinking. So like
yes.
People think it's like, you know, I won't be able to have a social life or life is just going to be so boring. And I'm sure you've thought about that, right? Like,
yes. No, it is. It's so funny because I literally thought, I remember sitting in one of my first AA meetings and I was like, oh my gosh, I think people are missing me. They're my rosé is waiting for me. Like it was so self-consumed and silly. I can't go to these restaurants because they get my drink ready so early. And now, holy crap, it's so much better. Okay. So I love to go out and I also am so thankful. I have a great group of friends that drink. I have a great group of friends that don't drink. I love spending time with them both. I go to parties, weddings, events.
You never get triggered.
No. Oh my God. No. I order my, you know, mocktail in a beautiful glass. I enjoy it more. I'm more present. I have more energy. And I honestly think to myself, I won. Like I'm here and I'm present and I'm getting all this and I'm enjoying it. And then I get to wake up and feel amazing. And I get to have this beautiful sleep. And I don't have to wake up with any regrets of what did I say or not remembering. Horrible.
The worst.
Horrible stress. The worst. And having this full, incredible life. You know, I went to the Bahamas for my sister's 40th party. I mean, like party, amazing, amazing people. But it's a party, you know, it's someone's 40th in the Bahamas. Like you can imagine. I went to like pool parties. I went to the dinners, the parties,
It's heaven. Best of both worlds.
I'm so happy. I'm like, awesome.
I've traveled so much in my 20s, like, you know, Ibiza, Barcelona, like I'm, you know, like just beautiful, beautiful trips. And I was fucked up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up with, like, I remember we did a trip with my friend, Lauren, who was on the podcast too, but mm-hmm. my friend Lauren, my friend Kristen, we did like a Europe trip. So we went to mm-hmm. Cyprus for like a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then my friend Kristen and I went to Barcelona for like a week and then Ibiza. And I remember Cyprus, I barely drank. Barcelona, I barely drank. And Ibiza, I went wild. Like, I mean, that's what you do, right? And I remember just feeling like crap. Like, it takes everything out of me. Like,
uh-huh.
any feeling good stuff just literally gets like sucked out.
Yes.
But I was that person all the time. Like, we would come back to the hotel. It was 6 a.m. And I'm like, guys, come. Like, because I knew I was still feeling good. And I needed to get that movement in. And I was like, let's go on the beach and do yoga. I've held so many like fucked up yoga sessions. It's terrible, but I'm like, I was still craving it. Or meditation circles, like in the city at like 5 a.m. in like a room, and I would have people like, it was hysterical. Like, we laugh at it now.
I want to feel better. You're trying. I know. It's, and then now you look back and you're like, that's horrible.
It is. Not fun.
And you don't feel good and you don't get the benefits, but you need, like, I need this out of my body before I put it in.
I wouldn't be able to do it when I'm hungover.
No.
Just like the time is now.
The time is now, so I can go back and enjoy. I would do like 2 workout classes when I was really bad and be like, I need to spit all out. But then I would go to lunch and drink.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
But it's a cycle. It's those patterns, those routines that we, unless we are really honest with ourselves and say, this is not working.
Yeah.
And are willing to either work with somebody or like, I just kind of decide and just do it.
Yes.
I don't talk about it until I'm really solid with my new routines.
Right.
And then they'll say, like, I didn't tell anybody that I'm not drinking when I went to the brunch, but the day of, and they're like, they saw the Pellegrino, and I was like, no, I'm not, like, not today. And one trick I'll say is, if you're like playing around with the idea of becoming sober curious, so maybe like you take a month off and just to see how you feel, obviously you're gonna feel amazing. Right. But you tell people, like, I used to tell people I'm on a cleanse, and then after a while, nobody even asked. Because if I was to say I am not drinking ever again, you're almost like putting a mirror in front of them. Yeah. So my desire is never to make anybody feel bad about what they're doing. Right.
No. And you don't even, the thing I've noticed too, no one even cares. Like, if they just want you to be part of, so you have your mocktail in a glass, they're happy you're there. They're enjoying their thing.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
But if they ask you, truly ask you, they're asking because they're curious and they might want to join you. And that's so beautiful. And you can have that open conversation, but like, you have, you know, I tell people this, you have more fun. I'm happier. I truly say to myself, I won when I go out now, like, I won. And another thing too, when you drink, you go out, it means you get your hair done. You're looking great. You look awful when you drink. Like, you don't look good.
On the next day,
like, I look
fluffy.
Even like when you're out, like, you go from this progression of like putting yourself together and feeling great, and like, you just drop. And so what is that? I mean, like, so that's another, thank you. But you know, people really respond to, like, you know, if someone's newly sober or testing the waters, just saying like, I'm on a cleanse, or I'm training for something, or I have to get up really early in the morning. If that helps. And also just have, I mean, there's so many times where I have a mocktail in my hand that people who don't know I'm sober, they just don't know. It's just like I'm at the bar getting my mocktail, and it's just how you engage and like and are part of the event.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's so much fun. Another thing, you know, talking about health and wellness, anytime you drink, you do make different choices about food.
Yes.
You don't enjoy healthy food as much. right? Mm-hmm. So I would have like, I would binge the next day, and then that would make me feel horrible and
lethargic
and bloated. And so, you know, one day of drinking
the cycle
took 4 days out of me.
Yeah.
Of my workload. Like I was like paddling upstream.
You said it. You can't get ahead in that way. And your body actually craves different things because you put the alcohol in your system and it's like wants all this stuff just soak it up.
Right.
And you feel awful. I mean, there's no positive coming from this.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes you away from what you really want. That, and it's, and we have to remember too, and this is, you know, it's momentary. It's a momentary feeling. And then what that feeling you're really looking for from alcohol, you can have all the time if you do the inside work. That's how we were created to feel all the time. This feeling of peace and joy and bliss and excitement and power
and energy at the same time. Like you can be energized and have peace, you know?
Yeah.
So what are your favorite like wellness hacks to stay in this place, like daily? Like tell me about your mornings, all the routines.
So I totally lucked out that my sponsor is like a black belt in the big book. And so she was like, you know, when I first came on the scene, she's like, oh, I meditate a lot, but you're not. And she's like, and I'm like, what? I never meditated. So meditation is crucial. I love the breathing exercises. So every morning it's meditation. I have readings. I set my intentions. I have gratitude. My first thing out of bed, because I have an alcoholic racing mind that wants to go to the negative and wants to start obsessing, gratitude only. I tell myself, nope, it's gratitude only. It is gratitude only till I get back here and do my readings. And that might be, I'm making my coffee, I'm filling this up, getting this ready, gratitude only. And sometimes it's out loud. Sometimes it's just between me and God, but it is gratitude only till I get to my readings. Then it's readings and meditation. And then depending upon the day, it's usually I do something physical, you know, at least 5 days a week, I need to move my body. And that's where I really feel like I become. And I, you know, the serotonin, it just rises and my outlook shifts.
Okay.
But these practices, the breathing, the meditation, the gratitude, it's all day. It's a lifestyle. So in my car, what I listen to is just as important to what I put in my body.
Yeah.
So I'm obsessed now with always having a great podcast on in the car or a mantra. You know, it's so important because that expands. My thoughts create my reality. And so I need to be very careful about what I'm feeding my mind. And I wanted to obsess about the beautiful, the good, the limitlessness that we are and what we are called to create. But those little practices that started in AA that were just like, okay, my morning to like survive. Now I'm like, oh, this is all day. And then I hit it, you know, I'm not getting to as many meetings as I'd like to. And that's something I want to get, you know, back to and better at, but I am sponsoring and that really keeps me in AA. So I get to, you know, 3 to 4 meetings a week. When I was newly sober, it was every day, maybe sometimes twice.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I
love it. You get addicted to feeling this good. You're like, I'm going to stay here. Yeah.
So I do want to share some tips, some books that I found really helpful with my decision to go alcohol free. Is the book Quit Like a Woman. And so I first purchased this book. It was like, I think last summer or whenever, and I bought it on Audible and I was like hooked. And then I bought it on Kindle and then I bought it on here because I want to be able to mark it up.
It's so amazing.
It offers so many tips.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, it talks about like what it actually does to your body, like in a way that is not advertised, because obviously drinking alcohol is being advertised to us all the time. So your mind thinks like socially we have to drink because it's everywhere. Instagram, partying, everybody has a drink in hand. And it's that image in our mind that we sort of put ourselves in that image.
So she talked about that too, how we are marketed to.
Yeah.
Especially women.
Yeah. And how like alcohol came, you know, in the Marketing Place. And so fascinating book. And then the other one is Good Days or Happy Days.
Yes.
I keep on saying Good Days. Happy Days by Gabrielle Bernstein.
Amazing.
And that one is really good. So she also is in recovery for, I don't know, over 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And she really talks about how we have to heal our trauma. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, that we, you know, keep on going to things like alcohol and food and drugs mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. all of those things. And mm-hmm. even though it's so painful, we can get through it. You know, there's techniques like EFT, like emotional freedom tapping, you know, technique.
Yeah.
So there's so many things out there, and I just want to encourage anybody listening, whether they have a problem with it or whether they don't mm-hmm. think they do, but mm-hmm. just to look mm-hmm. in that area of your life.
Yeah.
What do you believe about it? Where's that belief coming from?
Right.
And how can we get ourselves to a healthier place emotionally? And when we do that, do we still need alcohol to have fun and to play right. around with that?
Right. No. And I think too, like going back to Gabrielle's book, keeping Good Days too, happy days. When we put down whatever we're using to cope, we're going to feel more emotion. We're going to reveal things that we
things
don't
come up.
Things come up. That's when you call your best friend, ask for help, therapist, whomever is close and somebody that will hold it as a sacred place for you, and get that stuff out. Like,
if you don't have anybody, talk to God, right?
Yes.
Or journal it out. Get it out of your head.
You have to get it out. That's the first step, is to be honest and brave and get it out and become free. Which was so beautiful in her book, how she, right, she had long sobriety and then something came to the surface.
Therapy was like way later in sobriety. She's like living this healthy life, eating healthy, exercising, super thriving career, has a great husband, all of those things. And she was in therapy. And all of a sudden she recalls this memory that mm-hmm. she never remembered. Mm-hmm. And then she got scared. And then she realized like this was giving her panic attacks and TMJ and night sweats and all of that. And when she relived it, those symptoms went worse, but that was once she started to feel. So the funny part, so there's a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And I give it to like my clients. It's a connection between your thoughts and your physical body and how our physical body is a manifestation of our thoughts.
Right.
And so subconsciously, if we're dealing with trauma or not dealing with it, it ends up being, you know, digestion issues, lower back pain. And so it's connected, you know, and when you have these feelings come up or like what's giving you anxiety and stress, and you talk about them, the pain magically goes away.
Isn't it crazy? Because our body and our minds, our souls are all one. And so they're all trying to sort out these uncomfortable feelings together, and they manifest in our physical shell.
Yeah.
There's so much power bringing it to the light and flushing it out. Also being aware of like, why do I have TMJ? Why do I want to drink? Why do I get this knot in my stomach? Like there's something underneath. And you have to look more deeply and pull it out at the root.
And it's so crazy, you know, and I get it, but it's sometimes wild to me that like people trying to improve their digestion or their moods. And then like you're putting alcohol in the mix and it's like, no matter how many salads you eat, no matter how many cooked meals you eat, if you're adding alcohol to it, unfortunately, your digestion is going to be fucked up.
So awful. I mean, that's just the beginning. I mean, you're feeding your body, you know, disease. It's awful. And you're like cutting yourself off from any hope of healing, really.
Right.
But again, like goes back to just take that one step to be brave and to share it with somebody who can hold a sacred space for you and just say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I don't know why this keeps coming up. Do you have any suggestions? There's so many great resources for people who are struggling with trauma, addiction. The first step though is just saying, I need help. Like I need help. I am not okay.
And
go ahead.
No, and I want to say anyone that's listening and saying like, yeah, that's me. Like you can reach out to either Erin or I.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, to just even say it, you know, sometimes it's hard to say it to our family and friends. And so, yeah, just want to open that space up for.
Absolutely. I would love that. I'm here to help as many people that I can. I've been given a gift freely and I want to give it back.
Yeah. So where can everyone find you?
So probably the best is my personal is Erin_InsideOut. But also we're at Monarch Connect with Monarch as well. That would probably be the best places to get me.
Yes. And yes. You can actually get us together there as well.
Yes.
I'm one of the health, well, I am the health coach.
Yes, and,
but you will be a health coach soon too. So what is next for you? Like, I just want you to like,
I'm so excited to dive into my studies, and become a certified health coach, but I would love to focus on recovery. Yeah. So I would really love to be able to go deeper in my own practice so that I can help more people, in and out of the rooms, you know, people who are not yet there, but people who are also in the rooms I'm finding could also use some of the things that we're doing, with Monarch and with health, you know, health coaching. So I just want to be more of a light and have more to offer.
That's awesome. So for those of you listening, Erin is going to be an amazing health coach focusing on recovery and living a alcohol-free life. And so people listen to this like months from like on. So you might be in the course looking for, you know, to connect with people. So definitely connect with Erin and maybe do a health history with you. And
yes, I'll need that. Yes. Thank you. You're so awesome. Oh, you're the best, Michaela. Oh my goodness.
I love you.
I love you.
I love this conversation. I think it's so important. I think we have to talk about this in a way where, you know, health is sexy and being sober is sexy and fun and like just rewrite the narrative.
Yes.
And we can only do that like one person at a time. So I'm glad that we had this conversation.
Me too. I'm psyched. I can't wait to jump on again. But yes, no, it's, you can still have a very fun, active, social, beautiful, vibrant life, even more so in sobriety.
Yeah. And you find your purpose, your calling, all the things that you are in search of in these things. You will get that. So
you can hear it.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. I love you.
And thank you for listening to today's episode. And if you love this episode, please share it with a friend, post it on social media and tag us and we will repost or just send us a message. All the links will be in the show notes. So see you next time.
Love you, babe. Bye.